I'm Frank Vaughn, and it is November 4th, 2024, and I think all there is to do tonight is wait. The whole world holds its breath, or at least we should be holding our breath. I don't think a lot of people know how to hold their breath. I don't think people know how to be quiet. But everything's been said. It's all been done. The cases have been made. Unfortunately, both sides just exist increasingly in their own individual silos, blocking out of existence any conversation that might threaten to change their minds. So we wait for tomorrow. And what do I think is going to happen tomorrow? I think Rasmussen, Atlas Intel, all the reliable pollsters have had Trump ahead this entire time. And many of the pollsters who have been desperate to show a Harris lead, because they do engage in selective suppression polling, have all come into alignment over the last week to 10 days so that they can salvage their credibility in case Trump wins. I think if the election is fair in any way, shape, or form, it's a Trump landslide. 320 electoral college votes is what I think is going to happen. But what I think doesn't matter because we have to wait to see the results. Another thing that I think is I wish we could just start a GoFundMe page for Jagmeet Singh and maybe Blanchett too, where we could raise enough money, $1 million, $2 million, and we could just buy them out so that they would stop holding this country hostage for their pensions. We could just give them a payout. It's not quite the right of recall, which I would love to see, because Canadians have so little in the way of rights and privileges compared to other nations. We can't recall bad politicians. We're just stuck with them. We can't, by petition, introduce legislation. We just have to wait for one of our representatives to pick it up for us. We can't trigger an election. We can't really do much of anything except vote every so often and then just wait to see what happens. And right now, the shame of it is the entire nation is being held hostage over a guy's pension. It's pathetic. We need an election in this country. We need an election in this country as bad as the desert needs the rain. And I don't care how many fake polls CTV wants to put out. The country's ready for it. We need it. Let's hope it doesn't take all the way to next fall to actually get it. The Prime Minister has no path to hanging on to power. Jagmeet Singh might be able to salvage his reputation and make a case as the new leader on the left. But I don't see either of those scenarios happening. I think a Polyev-led government is inevitable. And I think for the future, a Trump government in the United States is the best possible outcome, but it's not enough to just have a Trump government, or a Trump presidency, I should say. We would need a full-fledged Trump government. 54, 56 seats in the in the Senate, a very clear House majority. It should just go one way or the other. It's either all-in Democrat or all-in Republican is the only way to determine what the future looks like. I don't know if I can handle another 4 years of a hung U.S. government. We need radical change, and I think a Trump presidency would deliver change. I think it'd be a lot of fun seeing Elon Musk and SpaceX unleashed, seeing RFK let loose inside the U.S. government, seeing the Department of Government Efficiency where you have Musk and Ron Paul cooperating to downsize the overarching and overreaching bureaucratic state. I saw a statistic yesterday that in Canada, the only sector of the economy that is really growing is the public sector. Isn't that wonderful? The takers are experiencing job growth, and those who produce things are being slowly sacked and destroyed. We need a change in direction. We need a purge of leftist policies. Here's another thing I'm going to say, because it keeps coming up, this whole gender nonsense. I think it is so strange, so foreign to me, that more men aren't standing up for children but aren't standing up for women and protecting women from men in drag, trying to constantly invade their spaces, trying to absolutely destroy what femininity is all about. Literally dudes dictating what women are, dictating the definition of women, even though they have no idea what a woman is, because the caricatures of femininity that they produce are abominable. They're such a pale copy of the genuine article. And these people are coming after your kids. You've got a group of gender crazies so empowered that 1,000 of them can gather in protest in Calgary. Where's the counter protest? Why are they so emboldened? These people are all rallying for the continued destruction of children, and you're allowing them to browbeat you as though they're doing the righteous thing, that they're doing the moral thing when they're the ones destroying the future. One confused child at a time. So men, do me a favor. When you're contemplating holding your tongue, when you're contemplating your silence, when you're afraid of somebody getting angry at you because you might speak up in defense of children or women, when you would deny yourself your voice for fear of being name-called or having some repercussion, bend over, reach between your legs, grab a hold of your balls, and pull down as hard as you can until the thought leaves your mind and you learn some courage again. We need masculinity. It's not just, as I've said recently, that we need daddy back in the room when it comes to government and law and order. We need masculinity back in society, because all the angry, frustrated, single liberal women and all the effeminate, weak men are combining to destroy Western civilization. And it's going to take masculine men to start righting the ship. It's crazy. And on top of the crazy, we now have this debate, this stupid debate. We have Khalistani separatists in this country. They're very violent. We have politicians from all political stripes who cannot, for the life of them, name the very... They can't even read the flag that these separatists are beating people with in Toronto. They can virtue signal about violence and religious violence and a failure for the great melting pot to actually congeal. It's like mixing water and oil, it seems, because it's not just the Khalistanis. There's also this, I mean, do a search on Google for Ethiopian Eritrean violence. We have imported so many problems. And now, on the flip side of it, you've got Hindu leaders giving speeches and rallying crowds in Toronto saying, hey, you know, we're not out to get anybody, but if you do anything to us, we'll kill you. And the crowd is just like, kill them, kill them, kill them. And 400 go and do a raid on a Sikh religious building. So it's back and forth. Sure, the Khalistanis are worse. Sure, the Palestinians are reprehensible. But what are we doing in this country? We tell millions, tens of millions of Canadians that they're not allowed to have an identity of their own, that the history of this country is not something to be celebrated. It is something to bow your head in shame and apologize for unendingly. Well, we import all of these ethnic and religious forces that don't give a damn about that Canada, let alone the native population, the First Nations, that our governments love to virtue signal about but never do anything about. There was a recent controversy with the FSIN election and all of these missing millions of dollars while people live in squalor. And the band chiefs and the leaders drive Cadillacs and live like kings. Nobody wants to tell the truth. We have a crisis in politics in Canada where all of our politicians are afraid to tell the truth. They try to look strong without strength. They try to hide their weakness in many worded statements that say nothing. And we're losing our identity. And if we don't change it, we're going to lose it forever. We're allowed to be Canadians. We're allowed to be proud of our roots. We're allowed to look back and say, man, why was Toronto so clean 30, 40, 50 years ago? Why were things objectively better? What has changed? And maybe whatever forces are behind that change should be halted. One of the reasons I hope for a Trump presidency and for a strong Republican Senate and a strong Republican House is that the conversation will fundamentally change in the rest of the world as a result of that outcome. People talk about the things that Pierre doesn't want to say or that other politicians don't want to say and do. Wait until November 6th. If there's a clear Trump victory, then things will start to change fundamentally. And we need that change. We need it so bad. We need it so bad that the Liberals and the NDP are actually starting to implement that change. And it is really funny when they talk about reducing immigration, seeing the left's heads explode because they're so used to repeating on the left. They're so used to being programmed with their talking points from on high that when their leaders flip the script, they're left in a state of cognitive dissonance. They still wouldn't dare vote conservative. They still wouldn't dare vote for anything else. But they do at least have a hard time changing their narratives. I'm burnt out on politics today. I was going to film this a few hours ago, and instead, as I went to get changed, I ended up just loading my family in the van, and we just drove around and found ourselves a beautiful church in the middle of nowhere and stood in reverence at how well-maintained it was, how unvandalized it was, how its beautiful stained glass windows weren't destroyed, because the rot at the heart of our urban centers, the rot at the heart of our national institutions hasn't fully reached the countryside and hasn't fully destroyed Western Canada yet. There's still a seed here that lies beneath the snow. And when the winter's over, the world might be able to live from what we have left. If we learn how precious it is, because also, alongside this church, on these back roads that we were traveling, are all these abandoned homesteads. The thing that has really struck me living out here and observing the countryside is that within the span of one human lifetime, hundreds of thousands of people came, they cleared, they settled, they homesteaded, and then they left. And their homes are now being overgrown and taken back by the forest. It's incredible, actually, to see the evolution of this place played out on these abandoned homesteads and in the towns and in the cities. We got to get these old school value systems back, or we're just going to lose everything. What makes the Calistanis, what makes the Hindu militants, what makes them all stand out is that they have a core identity that has very little to do with Canada and has everything to do with where they came from. They're so strong inside of themselves. They have such a profound sense of self that they were able to cross oceans this generation, the previous generation, and establish themselves and still hang on to that identity. And they're so powerful that they've managed to convince the national and provincial and municipal governments, for all intents and purposes, in Canada, to abandon their own sense of self and to do nothing but celebrate these causes that have nothing to do with this land. They managed to get parks named after them. They managed to get monuments built to their honor. Well, we are told by our own people to completely forget what we used to have as it is being swallowed up whole. Canada was not meant to be a resource colony. There was a time when we were a powerful middle power, where we were independent. We are the perfect example of a nation that could fortify itself against a crazy world if we could just rekindle some of that national spirit and pride that built the place in the first place. Our forefathers would be rolling over in their graves, and it ain't enough to put a poppy on every year for a week or two, even though that's a wonderful thing. I'm not denigrating it. But wearing a poppy doesn't mean that you actually remember. It doesn't mean that you're paying honor to the legacy, which is being trampled underfoot every single day by our politicians and by our mass immigration policies that are bringing all of this conflict. You read about the big bust in BC, Gaganpreet Singh. How much are we going to tolerate? Our country is being destroyed from within and from without. And are we ever going to do anything? Are we ever going to reach between our legs and pull our balls down? As I highlighted before, and defend decency. It's not even just the nation. We can't even defend our kids properly. We're so afraid. It's disgusting to me. We can't even defend simple biology. These people that are fighting in Toronto, that are having their little street war, their little ethnic religious street war in Brampton, or the Khalistani separatists that are marching in BC, Surrey, which is now 70% Indian subcontinent immigrant. What do they have that you don't have? They have manliness. They're fearless. They're willing to fight for their causes. Even though they're a minority, they're willing to advance themselves. What happened to men?